This Family Life News Podcast is made possible by the support of listeners like you.
Next on the 5 o'clock report.
They don't have immunity. You don't have a presidency.
The train is going off the cliff.
Males do not belong in women's sports.
And if you can hear us, we love you. Stay strong. Survive.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. An historic day in central New York. President Biden paying a visit to Syracuse, where he made a major announcement about the future of Micron, a computer chip maker that's about to set up shop in central New York.
It's going to be the size of 40 football fields. 40. Big enough to fit four carrier domes inside and still has space left over.
The commander-in-chief says the federal government will pitch in over $6 billion to help get the Micron project off the ground. That facility, once fully operational, will employ a whole lot of people, says New York Governor Kathy Hochul.
It's not just the $100 billion investment. It's the 50,000 jobs that follow, which will transform this region forever. That's what gets the round of applause in my mind. 50,000 good-paying jobs.
The Micron site will manufacture the semiconductors used in cell phones, defense systems, and artificial intelligence. Two Trump cases in two courts at one time. First, to New York City, where the former president said today of his hush money trial.
This is no case. There is no case here. This is just a political witch hunt.
And in Washington, D.C., the Supreme Court hearing arguments from Team Trump about why he should be shielded from prosecution at his upcoming election interference trial.
You cannot allow a president to be out there without immunity. They don't have immunity. You don't have a presidency.
Correspondent Jared Halpern.
A decision from the court could come quick given the implications to November's election in a trial here in Washington that's been on hold since February.
Trump argues a president's always immune from prosecution unless he's been convicted of a crime, which he has not. Correspondent Linda Kenya.
The issue is whether former President Trump can be prosecuted for trying to overturn the results of the 2020 election. But Justice Neil Gorsuch said the case extends much further than that.
A rule for the ages.
He was speaking to prosecutor Michael Dreeben, who called blanket presidential immunity out of sync with the Constitution.
The framers knew too well the dangers of a king who could do no wrong.
But Trump attorney D. John Sauer argued if presidents are worried about criminal prosecution, they can do no right.
Linda Kenyon in Washington. Anti-Israel protests are growing at college campuses.
Judges are alive.
Reporter Stephanie Goss.
The temperature on some college campuses reaching a boiling point. A growing number of protests forming over the ongoing war in the Middle East at campuses across the country.
Correspondent Nancy Chan.
At the University of Texas, Austin, police in riot gear and officers on horseback confronted about 200 students participating in a pro-Palestinian rally.
Students at Columbia have until midnight to dismantle their campus encampments. House Speaker Mike Johnson.
This is not the expression of free speech. It's not the free exchange of ideas in the public square. This is threatening and intimidating Jewish students because of who they are.
Police at USC making nearly 100 arrests last night. In the Mideast today, a new hostage propaganda proof-of-life video released by Hamas shows an American with an amputated right hand. His name, Hirsch Goldberg Polin. He is one of five Americans still in captivity in Gaza. His mother, Rachel, says the proof-of-life video is a sign of hope.
We heard your voice today for the first time in 201 days. And if you can hear us, we love you. Stay strong. Survive.
That amputation was the result of an injury that Goldberg Polin suffered during the Hamas invasion of Israel on October 7th. Stocks in shock today. The Dow down big time following a worse-than-expected consumer spending report. The economy grew at just 1.5% during the first 3 months of the year. A surprise ruling today from New York's top court. It has overturned the criminal conviction of a former Hollywood producer.
The New York Court of Appeals ruled that the judge in the landmark trial prejudiced Harvey Weinstein with improper rulings. The court said that included allowing women to testify about allegations that were not part of the case. The 72-year-old Weinstein has been serving a 23-year sentence in New York. He'll remain imprisoned because he was convicted in Los Angeles in 2022 and sentenced to 16 years in prison.
Jim Krasula reporting the Weinstein case helped give birth to the Me Too movement several years ago. The NCAA met today to discuss allowing biological males to compete in female sports. The trans athlete debate sparked outrage from those who argue women's sports should be saved for women.
Males do not belong in women's sports. They've had 2 years now to fix this and they've done nothing.
By letting biological males compete in women's sports, they're taking away scholarship opportunities from many athletes, and we want them to step up and protect the athletes that they represent.
More than 6,000 current and former college athletes have sent a letter to the NCAA imploring it protect women's sports and ban trans athletes from competing against girls. Detroit is packed with thousands of tourists for tonight's NFL draft.
Here goes Caleb Williams. Go deep, young man. Touchdown.
USC quarterback Caleb Williams will be the top pick overall by the Chicago Bears. Still to come on the 5 o'clock report, a conversation on digital addiction, why assisted suicide is bad medicine, and outdoor fire safety tips.
Here is your family life weather forecast. It's a chiller tonight, crystal clear skies. The moon will shine brightly overnight as the temperature dips into the 20s to mid-30s, frost for many. For tomorrow, another day of wall-to-wall sunshine, but milder than it was today. High temperatures low to mid-60s. Saturday, some early sun clouding up. A few showers will arrive and mild. High temps near 60 degrees.
All right, Kevin, we'll take it. The weather's getting nicer, but Family Life's Jeremy Miller says any New Yorker who wants to enjoy an evening by the fire needs to heed the following advice.
That's right. It's a dangerous time of year for wildfires, and a burn ban is in place through May 14th. That includes burning trash, brush, and leaves. Now, if you're camping, you cannot have a campfire any larger than 3 feet high and 4 feet wide, and make sure you only burn in designated fire pits. If you plan on having a backyard fire this summer, surround the fire with rocks or bricks to contain it. Keep water nearby just in case it gets out of hand. Make sure you always fully extinguish the fire and never leave it unattended. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Pennsylvania voters seem none too enthusiastic about their choices for the presidential election this year. Tuesday's primary results reflect that. Less than 30% of Democrats and Republicans cast ballots in nominating contests. Now that New York has a state budget, state lawmakers are turning their attention to controversial issues like assisted suicide.
So it really is important that people across the state of New York reach out to their legislators and let them know that they are opposed to assisted suicide.
Jason McGuire with New York Families.
It just doesn't make sense that we would discourage suicide in so many areas of our society, but then allow suicide for some. And make no mistake about it, assisted suicide is still suicide.
McGuire says if New York's Medical Aid and Dying Act passes, it could lead to elder abuse. Next at 5, a closer look at digital addiction. Our guest is pastor, author, and tech guru, Brad Huddleston. What happens in the brain, Brad, as kids and adults and all of us in the culture today become more and more addicted to these devices?
Well, you have to think of our digital devices, regardless of the content, as a drug. There are a lot of chemicals in the brain, obviously. The one that we talk about most of all when it comes to addiction and the use of digital technology and traditional drugs would be dopamine. It's a neurotransmitter. Nothing wrong with dopamine until the levels get too high. So in the brain, we need dopamine just to feel and to enjoy pleasure and things like that. And it's also the cognition molecule. Kids need that to learn math and English and history and things like that. So dopamine is good, but again, when the levels get too high, we begin to become euphoric, mesmerized. So if you've seen children, obviously we all have, whose parents use the devices as babysitters, they will stare for as long as you need them to get your things done. So I judge no one, but therein lies the problem. Sometimes they're just being chemically mesmerized. And when the levels get too high, we chase those dopamine hits by keeping our heads down longer and longer and longer to the screen and scrolling and getting to the next level of the video games, watching the next episode and series on Netflix. And it's the exact same hit that you would get when you go from one beer to the next or one line of cocaine to the next. And that's what makes this so scary. Yeah. I would say the difference, Bob, there's no social stigma against our video games. In fact, they're encouraged culturally. But there was a time when smoking was encouraged by doctors too. And eventually, the side effects of all of that came out. And where we are now with the digital technology, the side effects which in this case happened to be emotional, things in the brain. They're manifesting now.
They are. Do you support efforts like what the governor of Florida is doing to really crack down? I know other states are doing the same thing. They're putting age limits on social media. That if you're under a certain age, you have no business, like we do with cigarettes. You can't be 7 years old and smoke a cigarette. Do you support efforts at the state level, maybe even a nationwide sort of a thing, where we would put limits on social media use? Because that really gets into that whole free speech thing. And how do you reconcile that?
Well, I'm an American and I'm glad to be so. And I support the Bill of Rights, and that is a quagmire. However, when it comes to children, we protect them from a lot of things because of inherent dangers. Now that we know that social media, the bullying and all of those things are causing post-traumatic stress disorder, suicidal ideations and suicides, self-harm and all of these things, there are direct causation from social media and video games and pornography and things like that. Absolutely, we should protect children. Now, once you become an adult, free will kicks in, and you can pretty much, you know, ruin your life if you choose to do that. But when it comes to children, I'm a huge advocate of definitely protecting them.
Yeah, there's a great conversation in schools as well about the role that these devices have played, and when it comes to the education of our students. I talked to so many teachers. They say these things do not belong in the classroom. Several districts have banned them or tried to, but there are several that say we can't do that because mom and dad need to get a hold of the kids in case of emergency. What's your position on electronic devices in schools?
My position is the same as most tech executives, including Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs' children never use the iPad, and many of the tech executives send their children to analog schools. The tech executives want to preserve their children's brains from all of this mess. And what I tell parents is they love their children, not your children. They love their children. But, you know, their parenting model is good. They keep their kids in schools that do not have technology. So that is my position.
Yeah. There's a great debate as well on TikTok. There was recent hearings to ban TikTok here in the States. The kind of TikTok that they have in China is a lot different than the TikTok that kids have today. I don't know the first thing about TikTok, but apparently it's pretty popular, even more so than Facebook or any of the others. Do you support efforts to ban TikTok here in the States?
I do, on many different levels. On the governmental level, there are security issues. This data is all going back to Beijing. We're being tracked. We have no idea what they're doing with it. Then the other thing, TikTok is the number one platform for the propagation of LGBTQ activism and ideology. Children are having the surgeries, the hormone treatments, replacements, and all of that sort of thing that we're grappling with the public schools and the curriculum. Yeah. TikTok by far is the number one platform that propagates that. So that alone worries me.
Yeah. Where do you see this train going as we go into the next generation of kids who are addicted to digital devices?
Off the cliff. The train is going off the cliff. Now that we have artificial intelligence, dopamine levels, I believe, are just going to go through the roof, which means the addictions are going to get worse. The suicidal ideations are going to get worse. And it's a worry. And listen, this is a very unpopular message. And I'm getting ready to leave for 4 months, four different countries, talking exclusively about this. This is difficult, but the reason I do it, despite the pushback, is because ultimately I'm a Christian. I'm a minister of the gospel, and I love these kids because God loves these kids. And they're damaging themselves. They're damaging their future by the sheer amount of hours being addicted that they spend on this and missing the call that God has on their lives. God loves this generation. So what we're about is throwing a lifeline, not beating them down.
That's Virginia pastor, author, and expert on digital addiction, Brad Huddleston. Coming up on the 5 o'clock report, robot graduation speech.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. It will be another rare late April hug-your-honey sort of night around these parts. Temperatures in outlying areas will again dip into the frosty 20s. But tomorrow will be a milder day than today, and that milder weather carries us into the weekend, but that mild air turns moist. Showers are likely Saturday, and then a substantial warm-up really gets cranking Sunday, Monday. Temperatures then reaching the 70s or higher. In the meantime, it's a chiller tonight, crystal clear skies. The moon will shine brightly overnight as the temperature dips into the 20s to mid-30s, frost for many. But tomorrow, another day of wall-to-wall sunshine, but milder than it was today. High temperatures low to mid-60s. Saturday, some early sun clouding up. A few showers will arrive and mild. High temps near 60 degrees.
All right. Thank you very much, Kevin. And finally, at 5, thanks to the artificial intelligence that Brad Huddleston was just talking about, a robot is able to give the graduation speech next month at a Buffalo University. Family Life's Dee Haley.
DeYouville University is taking a different approach for this year's commencement speech at graduation. The school has announced this spring's commencement speaker will be an artificial intelligence or AI robot. The social humanoid robot named Sophia will be witnessed by more than 2,000 students, staff, and family at Harbor Center on May 11th. According to broadcast reports, Sophia is expected to provide the last lecture about the students' accomplishments through the year in an interview-style discussion with the Student Government Association president. Dee Haley, Family Life News.
All right, the robots really are taking over. People get ready. Thank you, Dee. That's the world we live in. Thursday, April 25th. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
Thank you for listening to this Family Life News podcast. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard, please share it with others and click the subscribe button to automatically receive future episodes. Family Life is a listener-supported ministry. Podcasts like this are made possible by your financial partnership. Find out more at familylife.org.